On today's episode of the Natty Boys podcast, we discuss Drew Brees breaking the all-time passing yards record, and we give our thoughts on the MLB League Championship Series matchups. We also preview the Bengals-Steelers game for this upcoming weekend, and since we're finally starting to experience some fall weather, we decided to end the show with a fantasy draft for our favorite Halloween and fall-themed movies. Enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Natty Boys podcast, presented by Mill Iron Sports.
And welcome to the Natty Boys. Today is October 12th, and Peyton Manning is dead.
Yeah, he's pretty much irrelevant now at this point, right?
Yeah, I think that. I thought when he popped up on the screen when they did the tribute to Brees after Drew Brees, if you've been living in a hole, Drew Brees broke Peyton Manning's all-time passing record. Previously, it was 71,940. And Brees did it in the first half of their game on Monday night. But Peyton popped up and gave a little bit of a tribute. And I just thought he was going to off himself on camera. Because, I mean, if you don't have your passing record, what do you really have?
That's right.
He still got the touchdowns record. But I feel like Brees is going to break that also. I think he needs 41 more to break that. So give him two more years and he will this year.
The video was funny where he was like, "This is just one video because I know you're probably going to break the touchdown record here pretty soon."
Yep.
And I don't have time to make another video.
Busy cutting my tomatoes.
Yeah, so I'm busy cutting my tomatoes.
Is that a euphemism for jerking off?
It might be.
Yeah, he's just an insurance salesman now. That's all he is.
What was with the referee just handing him like a slip of paper?
It was like a laminated sheet, like authentic. I think it was to be like a. I don't know if this is the right word. Authenticating is like an authenticity certificate.
Yeah. Literally, looked like for the one Hall of Fame. Student of the Week things you get in elementary school.
No, it was like so the ball was like this was the ball that he used.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because then Brees took the paper and the ball itself straight to the
eBay
to the Hall of Fame dude. Which if that Hall of Fame dude doesn't have mob connections, then I don't know mobsters.
Yeah.
Did you see him with his pinstripe suit and his slick back hair?
I just don't ever remember seeing something like that when a record was broken before.
No, I've never seen it done on the field like that.
Yeah, right. I just thought that was kind of weird, awkward. It was awkward, like the ref giving that to
like
him.
Here.
Yeah. Or not. Maybe it wasn't even a ref. It might have been an NFL exec. But either way,
I think it was. Yeah. Either way, it was weird that they just
it was
it
weird
to
how much of the game stopped.
They always do that when big records are broken, though. Well, at first, I don't think the one ref knew that was a record-breaking touchdown or record-breaking pass, because if you watch the replay, or I saw it right away, because analyze. But they threw a flag on the end zone celebration.
No.
Like a delay a game penalty, I think, because there was a flag laying on the ground. And I'm like, did they really throw a flag on him when the NFL was like orchestrating this huge like celebration?
Yeah.
And then they never mentioned it. So I don't think he realized what had just happened and thought the Saints were just going nuts over just any other touchdown.
The NFL's like wheeling out a stage and they're getting flags thrown because of excessive celebration.
Yeah. Hey, Lady Gaga's going to play this brief timeout.
Yeah.
My passing record.
Who caught the pass
I forget his name. But he dropped the ball in the end zone. Like, he didn't, like...
So I would have loved to see him pull an A.J. Green on...
Just chuck it into the crowd.
Yeah, on McCarron's first touchdown and just fire it up into the end zone or the crowd.
I love it, like, in dugouts when, like, a Major League Baseball player hits his first home run and they act like they toss it up out of the dugout. It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah. The best is when they ignore him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that, too.
Yeah.
Someone should have grabbed a screwdriver out of the equipment manager's little toolbox and just popped.
But so congratulations, that was pretty cool to watch. Yeah. You're
fan
invited
of the
on
show.
The podcast anytime you want.
Yeah, we know you listen.
Mm-hmm. Might be a guest next week. We're not sure. We're still waiting to hear back.
Yep. surprise yeah. guest.
Some
tune in.
Some prior happenings between me and his wife where, you know, things are a little shaky between me and Drew right now, so he doesn't like his wife talking to her ex-booze, but whatever.
You tower over him, so
that's right.
He should be intimidated.
Yeah,
what's up, little
he
man?
He can throw for 72,103 yards, but I can see over an offensive line.
Yeah.
So
and you'd swat the shit out.
Who's the real Hall of Famer here? And I don't have a weird fucked up scar on my bicep.
Wow.
But I do have a scar on my face.
You guys are like twins.
I know. Mine wasn't a big hairy mole that got cut off when I was 35, though.
I think you should have kept it.
He should have. It was his calling card. Yeah. Like, do you think Kathy Ireland's not going to lop off that beauty mark? Wait, was it Kathy Ireland that had the beauty mark?
No.
Who has the beauty mark? Cindy Crawford. Yeah. Cindy Crawford's not going to lop off that beauty mark.
So the NLCS and ALCS are set in baseball playoffs.
Yeah, congratulations, Yankees.
You survived Kimbrel.
No, never mind. That was awesome. I believe both of my picks are still alive for the World Series. I don't know how everyone else is sitting.
I got one left. I got my winner, though. So
I think I had Red Sox.
Yep. I had Sox and Braves because I went to Brandon Phillips Bowl.
That's right. I remember that.
I got both mine still. I got Astros.
I think
Brewers.
I had Sox. I had Sox Dodgers.
I liked. That's right, because when I was listening back, I did like DB's possibility of the two teams that have flipped leagues being in the World Series against each other in their new leagues because the Brewers being a former AL team and the
Astros.
And both have been involved in the Reds division, so that's kind of funny. Just a weird... So
that pretty much makes the Reds the best team in baseball, right?
Yeah, because they've beaten both teams historically. They probably own the head-to-head records. Yeah. I feel like there for a while in my childhood, 90% of the Reds games I was going to were against the Astros.
Yep.
It just always seemed to line up that way.
Yeah.
But
you guys excited about Astros-Dodgers or...
I'm not excited about anything baseball. I haven't been excited about anything baseball since like May.
I love watching cold weather baseball. Yeah. I don't know what it is. I just love it. Like, and then I also, I just love watching the championship series and the World Series. I've watched pretty much any of the evening games, and then at times I'll throw on the day game like on TV just. To have in the background, but the evening games I'll usually put on, and I don't know. I'm a sucker for playoff baseball. For someone who hasn't really experienced much playoff baseball as a Reds fan in our 32 years,
at least not in our adult life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just
got the World Series when we were four.
That's right. That's all that matters. I don't know. I guess I'm excited. I'll be more excited if it's like a cool story coming down the stretch where if they're good series. I know you typically don't root for teams in your division, but the Brewers, like, I've never really had any ill will towards the Brewers. I don't hate the Brewers.
Yeah, I just hate
Hated individual Brewers.
But yeah, I hate Ryan Braun.
But not the team.
Yeah, hate Ryan Braun. I hated Ricky Weeks. I hated...
What's the one?
Who's the other Reds killer there?
Gomez? Oh,
Carlos Gomez.
Yeah.
Was it Carlos Gomez? Yeah.
Carlos Lee?
He was like...
No, Carlos Lee was a...
Gomez was the one that robbed Votto a couple times, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, Ryan... I don't know if you guys have watched any of the games or not, but Ryan Braun is a grade-A asshole. Like, he was yelling at Christian Yelich about stuff. Like, the one time Yelich was on first, Ryan Braun, being about 6 days late on a fastball, hit it down the right field line. And the first baseman threw his glove up in the air, and it hit his glove and popped into the outfield. Yelich isn't watching the ball. He heard the glove hit, so he went back to tag because he thought he was about to get doubled up.
Right.
So then he only got to – he ended up getting thrown out at second. And Ryan Braun was, like, cussing at him the entire time he was on base. And then it happened again. He didn't score from first, which he was lucky that Yelich got to third because it wasn't like he put one into the gap that bounced around. And I don't know if there's something between Yelich and Braun, but like prior, I could see Ryan Braun being the kind of guy that hates Yelich because he's like stolen the spotlight from him.
Yeah.
But
Yelich
is one of the weirdest fucking people I've ever seen. One of the weirdest looking people.
Yeah. He's like the Hunter Pence that I would trust to be around, like, women. Like, Hunter Pence doesn't look like he should be left alone with anybody, man, child, woman, anyone. But, like, sorry, Hunter Pence, if you're out there. But you don't look like a trustworthy person.
Come on the pod. Discuss.
You look like you would be. You look like you'd be on a community's message board, like a Facebook message board, for like stealing dirt bikes. Like that's what Hunter Pence looks like. Yeah. And he threw a rock really weird at me. I don't know what was wrong with him. I think he's missing. He's missing a portion of his arm or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, Christian Yelich is a weird dude. Like he just doesn't. He looks like a. If Pete Davidson and the kid from Freaks and Geeks had a child.
He kind of came out of nowhere, too. I mean, I know he had a great season this year, but yeah. I don't really remember much of him last year or the year before.
He was good in Miami, but he was like, Miami. He was buried in the shitty team.
Yep.
So, I know, I remember the Reds, I mean, a lot of people were hoping that we'd be able to land him, but there's no way the Reds had... They weren't willing to give up what they would have had to give up to get Yelich.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, he's a stud. I just want a good story on the come playoffs. I think the Red Sox will win it. But
yeah, which I'm fine with. Like I said, I kind of pulling for Phillips at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Has he even played any?
I don't think he was on the roster.
No.
All it takes is one injury, though. You never know. That's well, right. Obviously, yeah, I don't think they've declared the roster for the ALCS yet, but watch, he'll end up, something will happen screwy with an injury, and he'll end up being like the MVP of the World Series or something.
Yeah.
Everybody will be calling Lance McAllister, I can't believe we got rid of Phillips.
Yeah, the Reds country will lose their mind.
Meanwhile, we got Joey Votto making $800 million a year to walk. God. Brandon Phillips is going 7-for-14 in the World Series. Oh, Jesus Christ. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think? I know I've already given my spiel about just liking cold weather baseball and I don't know, there's something about hearing the national broadcast team like with so much like tension on every pitch. I don't know. I just for some reason I love that.
I'll typically throw the games on, but I'm not hanging on every pitch like that. You know, I'll have them on in the background if I'm doing something, but this may be sacrilegious for a Reds fan, but like I don't mind the Dodgers. Like I know that they used to be a big rivalry in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah,
but
that was back before we were even alive.
Right. Yeah, and some people still have that hate for the Dodgers, and I don't really care. You know, I've always kind of liked most LA teams because I'm a Lakers fan, so I'm okay with the Dodgers even if they don't beat the Brewers. I don't really care about either series. Like Astros and Boston just doesn't do it for me either. I don't know. I'm kind of in football mode.
I think I'm looking forward to that Astros Red Sox series just because I follow along with a lot of the stuff with Jared Carrabas.
Yeah.
And like his stuff is always better when like there's turmoil or like there's really no Astros fans to troll. I guess they could troll Chaps if they wanted to.
Yeah.
But like I don't know what it is, but like when I know someone's invested and like I can watch their misery or they're like it just makes it a little more fun to watch. So.
Like when Big Cat, love it when Big Cat dies every year. The
electric chairs
are
the best.
Yeah. That's kind of what bummed me out that the Cubs, I mean, I'm glad the Cubs lost when they did, but I think them losing to the Brewers in a 5-game series would have been more like devastating than just losing that playing game to the Rockies.
Yeah.
Like hating the Cubs losing to as a Cubs hater, watching them lose to the Rockies was like the best thing that could have ever happened.
Satisfying, yes.
But like is the most satisfying thing. But as far as like entertainment, like watching them melt down in one of the later series is always more fun when you get suicidal Big Cat. But
I'll be honest, I haven't really watched any of those games in this postseason. I can't remember the last time I've watched any postseason baseball. Like last year I don't think I watched any of it. I watched some of that Indians Cubs World Series from a couple years ago, but yeah. I don't know. Like DB said, I kind of get into football mode, and I just don't care.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'll still throw them on and pay attention, but
yeah, I'm not that far usually.
Yeah, well, Jackets are on now, and NBA is starting up next week. It's hard to pay attention when your team's just shit 4 years in a row, and not even close to doing anything special.
Next year.
Okay.
That's all right. We can right now we can plan on gearing up for what seems like a season's worth of drama and just storylines. We got the Bengals Steelers week finally.
Yeah.
It's upon us.
Yeah.
I really hope the Bengals just stay out of it. I just want them to play the game.
Yeah, I hope they
don't let the team get in your head. And for the most part they've been quiet. Carlos Dunlap threw some shade. I don't know if you saw his comment. They asked him what it was like to inside the new rules tackle a quarterback like Ben Roethlisberger, and he said, "Well, anytime you're tackling a 300-pound quarterback, it's tough."
Yeah.
So he threw a little shade, but I want him to stay out of it for the most part. Just go in. You're the better team. Just play your game.
I think as long as Burfict doesn't let them get under his skin, because you know they're going to be trying to get him to do something stupid. As long as he can keep his head level, I think they'll be okay. He doesn't have Pac-Man to kind of feed off of now. We all remember the playoff game. Those two kind of just blew up together. I think really outside of Burfict, we don't really have that many hot heads on the team. AJ Green when he wants to start fighting cornerbacks.
Yeah, I think that Mixon could get there. Like, cause he is very boisterous on the field. Like, I feel like he could. You know, when he makes a spectacular play, if he gets up in someone's face about it, I feel like he could. That potential is there for something to blow up on the field. But other than that, on offense, we're pretty docile.
I don't know where you would get that from Mixon. Somebody gets up in his face, he could lose his cool
just out of the blue.
No, I think Burfict's played pretty clean all of last year. He did that tackle he had when Johnson got the personal foul. That tackle was textbook. I mean, he had head wrapped across the body like it, and it looked like a perfect tackle. And then I saw the personal foul, and I thought they kind of called him for it for body weight or something. But then I saw Michael Johnson toss the dude like 3 or 4 yards. Yeah. So.
I like the Bengals posted. I forget what they said. They said let the work speak for itself or something like that. I retweeted it today.
Yeah, no.
But it was of them working out, and it's I don't know. Everyone keeps saying, and I saw that douchebag that Rebecca Toback from Cincy, SB Nation, Cincy Jungle, whatever they call themselves. She tweeted out the Steelers guys article, basically talking about how the Steelers are in the Bengals' head and how they own the Bengals, and the statistically, yeah, of course, like record wise, like. They've always dominated the Bengals, especially in Cincinnati. But the fact that the Steelers will not shut the fuck up about the Bengals right now, none of the Bengals are saying a word about anything, I think it's the tables have turned. I think the Steelers realize they can't rely on just their skill anymore to win games, because they had the mixture of skill and being able to trigger Bengals players into doing something stupid.
Yep.
Like now they're gonna have to rely on the Bengals shooting themselves in the foot if they win the game.
Yeah.
Like the Bengals are a far superior team, like skill wise. So I don't know.
I wanted to bring up was Jesse Bates might win Defensive Rookie of the Year.
He's a stud.
Man. He's been playing awesome for the Bengals in the secondary.
Which is weird, because I didn't think you were allowed to play rookies. Like, I just thought you were supposed to sit them.
It's weird. I know.
Or expect them to get hurt.
No, Marvin's known for that. Yeah. That's what the announcers said on Sunday.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, he covered 30 yards on that one interception he had. Yeah. Like, it was insane.
I know. I got so tired just watching it.
He's got that instinct that Iloka just didn't have, which...
I know.
Do you know Iloka has only played like a handful of snaps in Minnesota? Like he barely has played for the Vikings.
Yeah.
And it's not like he's trying to learn the system. Like he knows that defense because that's Zimmer's defense.
Right.
Like that.
Yeah.
He's just not that good of a player anymore. Like it sucks because he was a good player for the Bengals for a long time. And he was always good to have around. And I always liked Iloka, but times change. And we're starting to see that with this season. And this may be the control that Marvin gets a roster rebuild, they always say, oh, this is the time that Marvin gets full control. Well, this time it actually seems like it might have happened, and it's starting to pay off, because they've cut bait with guys that aren't performing elsewhere, and they need to, I mean, they don't have anyone to do it with, but they need to cut bait on some of the underperforming, the offensive line, which I was kind of surprised to hear that Andy Dalton's got like the fewest pressures in the NFL right now or something, or he did at one point. Yeah. But it seems like every other play, like the right side of the line is in Andy Dalton's face.
Yeah. Because
they're getting blown off the ball. So I don't know.
There was a couple throws he made last week where he just stepped right up past the pressure. And it's like, that's exactly what he's supposed to do. And he was in the exact right spot. And he threw some fucking lasers last week.
Yeah.
After he stepped up in the pocket.
He's done a lot better job this year of kind of waiting, moving with the pocket instead of just as soon as something starts to, you know, get a little bit of pressure on him, he would just kind of bail basically, and he'd either you know, run out away from the play and just have to toss it away, or he'd, you know, force something. But now that he's being patient, he's stepping up, I think it's really paying off. And
I don't want people to call me out for saying I'm trying to make this comparison, because I still think when both are healthy, they're one is far superior than Andy Dalton. But that throw he made to Mixon for the touchdown, that was an Aaron Rodgers play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like just he's hanging on almost too long. Yeah, and he's got the
Van Pelt's coach.
Yeah, he's got the Packers Rodgers
misses his quarterback coach.
Yeah, I know Rodgers was pissed when Van Pelt was not re-signed for the Packers. But yeah, that like you said, DB, he's stepping up into the pocket. He's letting the pressure. He's not letting the pressure get to him. He just goes where it's not, and that's been the world of difference, and the receivers can trust him to make those throws. There have been a couple times where he just does, like, where the hell did that come from, and where have you been for the last 8 years or whatever?
Right. Yeah.
Because we saw glimpses of it, but now we're seeing full games of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems a lot like 2015 again, because, up until when he got hurt, he was playing amazing.
Yep.
So, you know, hopefully he can sustain that. I mean, we're still seeing glimpses where – he'll make a dumb throw, or he'll make it just off target throw. But I mean, for the most part, he's playing a lot smarter. He's, you know, he's throwing the ball a lot better. So,
and
if he can keep that up, I think there's, you know, this team could beat anybody. If he starts to regress back to kind of some of the Dalton we've seen in the past years or two, I think the team could be in trouble. But as of now, I mean, he's been playing great this season.
So we're expecting 4 interceptions on Sunday.
Yeah.
So, but no, I think so too. With him just being, like you said, you mentioned the 2015 season. Like that year, everything was clicking for him. This year, it seems like it's clicking for him. I don't know. I hope he can sustain it. I really do. And he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. You mentioned when players or when he makes a bad throw or a bonehead mistake, or he tries to force something that isn't there. Like the one, the ball that got batted in the end zone was lucky it wasn't picked off when he was trying to squeeze it into A.J. Green on that little mini post that he was trying to run.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, those kind of throws get made by the elite quarterbacks every week, but they're like, oh, he just missed that one. But when Andy does it, they're like, what the hell was Andy thinking?
Yeah.
Like, he's going to get that ball thrown or get that ball picked. And so, I mean, he made that bed with some of the decisions he made earlier in his career. But he's a gunslinger. He's an old Texas gunslinger. You got to love it, so.
I love the throws he's making that he wouldn't normally throw.
Yeah.
He tossed that one up to Mixon that was a jump ball.
Yeah.
He escaped the pocket on the one and tossed it to Green, and it was a broken route. And normally that's 5 yards out of bounds and a throwaway because he's under pressure.
And I think he's just – a lot of it is he's getting lucky with things too, because that touchdown pass to Mixon, I think Mo Egger was saying – that's something that last year, the year before, that gets picked off. And
that could have easily been a pick.
Yeah,
it floated in the air a long time.
Yep, but I think for whatever reason, I think things are breaking the Bengals' way so far this year, so hopefully that continues to happen. Except for Eifert's ankle didn't break the Bengals' way.
Yeah, it broke the wrong way.
Yeah.
Everything else.
No, and I do think you saw that affect them more than I think they'd like to admit on Sunday. I think Ross and Eifert both being off the field, that's why Green was getting double teamed. That's why Mixon was struggling in the first half rushing, because they were dropping that safety down to negate the run.
I think Uzama and Kroft can fill that spot okay. Like, they're obviously not as good of an athlete as Eifert, but they can fill that role.
I'm worried Kroft's been in a boot this week, so I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to run a lot of those two tight end sets all game like they like to do.
Yeah, I think someone was saying that those two could probably fill the production you got from Eifert, but what they don't bring is they don't bring that threat that they're going to beat you bad. So, like, they don't have to have teams focusing on them as much, so they can kind of key on Green or key on Mixon a little bit and not have to worry about those guys just, you know, shredding them like Eifert could do. But I mean, they're gonna make plays. They're gonna help, you know, in possession situations, but they don't have that big play ability like Eifert did, I don't think.
Right. And I don't care what he's done this year, but they need Ross on the field. He runs a 4.2. They're gonna have to cover him with a safety. So he automatically opens Green up, and I do think you saw that affect them for the first time.
They said he practiced today, so I think things are leaning towards him playing with his hamstring. So groin, hamstring, one of those.
Yeah.
He'll be all right.
Yeah, it's huge if he does play.
You guys ready to make some football picks?
I am.
Oh yeah,
let's do it.
All right. So update on standings. Whitty is in first place at 9-5. So congratulations to you, sir. We got Mac and Hefe are right behind him at 8-6, and I'm 7-7. So it's still a pretty tight race with us making three picks a week. So the first game that we're going to do is Georgia heading down to Louisiana for the LSU game, where LSU is 7.5-point underdogs. Hefe, what do you got?
2015 fumble, Jeremy Hill, fuck LSU, Georgia wins.
I can't. I mean, that's solid logic. I can't.
And we got like three or four Bulldogs on the team, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're a Bulldog.
The Bengals have always seemed to like Bulldogs.
They've had LSU a lot too, though. They're just not there anymore.
Atkins was a Bulldog.
LaFell was a Bulldog. Yeah, AJ Green's a Bulldog. LaFell was a Tiger.
Oh yeah. They had Rivers was a Bulldog.
No, he wasn't.
Pollock was.
Rivers was USC.
All right, so you're taking Georgia minus 7.5?
Yes.
I'm going to take LSU plus the points. I think that they can keep it close. They won't win, but they'll definitely keep it within a touchdown. I know that they had their first L, I think, of the season this past weekend. But I'm taking them to keep it close. Give me LSU.
I overthink these types of games. If LSU had won last week, I think I'd go with LSU here. But this is the type of game where I think they get destroyed by Georgia, and some murmurs start coming out of LSU about Coach O being fired. Because I don't remember if he signed an extension or anything, but I know he came in on an interim basis, and he seems to do well as an interim head coach, and then he ends up having to move along in the next year or two. So just because of the historical trend, and just the way I kind of go with gut feelings, I'm going Georgia. I think they win by probably as much as 20. I see it being like a 35-14 type of game.
Big blowout.
Yep. Yeah, I think this is a pretty big spread for it being a home game for LSU. So I'm going to go Tigers as well.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. I think they get that Coach O magic, and I don't know if they win, but I think they keep it within a touchdown. So LSU plus the points.
All right. The next game after that, we're going over to the NFL, where we have the Kansas City Chiefs heading to New England. Is that the Thursday night or the Sunday night football game?
I think it's Sunday night. Yeah, okay. It is Sunday night. Yeah.
Chiefs get back-to-back Sunday night games?
Yeah, I was going to say the Chiefs are going to be the Bengals Sunday night opponent in 2 weeks after Steelers. Mm-hmm. But New England is a 3.5-point favorites in the game at home. And with the Kansas City team, if you can get points, I think that you kind of take them. So I don't know that they'll beat New England, but I like getting points with Kansas City, so I'm going to take Kansas City plus the points.
I'm going to take the home team. This seems like the type of game where I know that the Patriots have had their bounce back already after their two losses, but this seems like another one of those statement games where they kind of bring the Chiefs back to earth a little bit. It could be a mini shootout. But I think that the Patriots probably end up winning by, like, it'll be one of those games that's close, and then the Patriots get a perfect, like, pick six or a fumble recovery, scoop and score type of thing at the end.
End up winning by 10.
Like, yeah, like 10 or something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm going Patriots at home.
Yeah, I think Mahomes has to come back down to earth at some point. And Foxborough is a tough place to play. And I want the letdown to be against the Bengals, but I think the Bengals Chiefs game will be a shootout. And it'll be a matter of whoever's defense holds. So I'm taking New England to, like Max said, I think it's a statement game. I think it puts them back in the conversation in the AFC. It's just a classic New England. Oh, we're better than you scenario.
It's so. Not week eight yet. Kansas City isn't going to melt down.
I've had a real hard time with this one because I either see the Chiefs winning it close or the Patriots just blowing them out. And I've gone back and forth, but I think I landed on taking the Chiefs plus the points. I don't know. I'm still believing in that Kansas City offense. I think they can keep up with the Patriots offense. I don't think we're going to see too much defense Sunday night, but I think the Chiefs come out on top. I think this is going to be one of those, whoever scores last wins type of games. And I think that's going to be the Chiefs. I think they'll win it outright, but if they don't, I think it's within three. So I do like that we got another classic Belichick line out of this. Feels like we're playing Kansas City.
God, fucking hate him.
Yeah.
So much. All right, the last game that we're going to pick is Pittsburgh coming to town to play the Bengals at 1 o'clock on Sunday. Hefe, we're going to let you go. The Bengals are 2.5-point favorites.
I think the Bengals should win. They're the better team. I'm going to pick the Bengals. I just think Pittsburgh's got too much going on. They played a very questionable Falcons team. I think the Bengals roll.
Well, I also took the Bengals. I think that the Bengals win this game outright. This seems like a statement game to show that the Bengals are for real this year. They're not going to be pushed around by the Steelers. And I think Big Ben struggles mightily. I think that the defensive line has their coming out party, even though they had two D linemen score touchdowns last week. I think this is the game where you see like five or six sacks where Big Ben just can't get open and Big Ben's taking sacks. It's one of those games where I'm nervous, not so much because of the outcome of the game. I just don't want something terrible to happen.
Right.
I feel terrible putting this out in the universe just because I'm a big believer in like, don't put shit out there that you don't want to happen because like it gives someone out there the idea. But I would hate to see something like Antonio Brown coming over the middle, going up for the ball, and Vontaze just like putting the cleanest hit on him, just like shoulders to rib cage, and a rib breaking and puncturing a lung, and Antonio Brown just like taking his last breath on the middle of the football field. Like I just don't want to see that.
I'd hate that.
It would be the worst thing ever. Like I just so terrible. I just don't. I feel bad putting it out there, but I had to get that off my chest. I just don't want to see it. So
you better be careful. If it happens, he's gonna start throwing furniture at you.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that was just a mix-up because everybody gets accused of throwing furniture off a 13th-floor balcony.
And burning holes in the...
I will say this. From what I heard of the lawsuit or whatever, it said that the guy and his kid were within, like, feet of where he was throwing shit. I guarantee you he was, like, all the way on the other side of the parking lot. I bet that lawsuit's probably bullshit, too, but...
I think the lawsuit
Brown regardless.
I think the lawsuit that the guy's suing him for like PTSD for his kid is probably BS because he's only asking for like not that much in damages. No. It's not that much money, like I don't think, from what I remember reading. But I believe that he trashed a condo. I believe that happened.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But Antonio Brown's got like 8 kids or something like that. Why is he out there fucking around in a condo like that? Like
why? Because he's got 8 kids. He's
that's true. Dude's night out.
Yeah.
But he, because the other night at the podium, he had like at least 5 or 6 kids. Maybe there were a ton of kids up there.
Did he?
They were all wearing like his jersey and stuff. I didn't know he had that many kids. But
not every kid that wears an Antonio Brown jersey is a kid. You know.
That's weird.
In Pittsburgh, maybe.
I didn't know Antonio Brown had a 48-year-old white son.
Adopted.
Keeps yelling 7 rings or 6. How many they have? I don't know how many they're in.
One for the thumb. Go Big Ben. He's diehard. He's got the starter jersey on. Yins don't even know.
You want to make your Bengals pick?
Bengals.
All right. That makes all four of us. Let's go Bengals.
It makes me nervous that they're a favorite in this game. But
yeah, that doesn't seem right.
But I'll take it. You know? Yeah. So I think they come out ahead.
You switch your pick now.
No, I didn't.
I'm saying you switch it to the Steelers.
Why?
I don't know. It seems to work.
You switch to the Steelers.
Haven't every game you picked, they've lost?
You have been.
I picked the Bengals against Atlanta 2 weeks ago. And
I think every time you've picked the Steelers, you've been wrong. So.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, I'm not picking them. Fuck them.
All right. So some people might say hanging out with Hefe is a scary movie.
Yeah, boy.
As was just displayed in the last 30 seconds of Natty Boys. that's probably gonna be on our award winning when we have our acceptance speeches and we win an award. That's gonna be like on the reel of greatness of Hefe accusing DB of something that never happened.
Just me being confused. I feel like that's a running theme. It's just
You know every time you rent a Jeep the Thursday before a game that the Bengals always win?
It's true, dude. Stick to it.
That's never not happened.
That's true.
Yeah. But
show me a time where that hasn't happened. That's has not never not happened. Never ever hasn't never not happened. But so our fantasy draft this week is scary, like fall and Halloween themed movies. We are, I guess we're probably in the minor leagues of big time movie boy status. We are fans of the movie podcast and always gets us in the movie mode and makes me want to watch movies, even though I don't have the time or patience or energy to watch movies. So I guess we're going off of our favorites, like, you know, movies that we've always watched in the past. And I'm going to go ahead and kick things off. I'm taking this because I'm afraid someone else will take it. Scary Movie.
Yeah. All right.
Scary Movie.
So it was released in July, but it is based around them knowing what happened. It's about what they did on Halloween. Instead of last summer, I know what you did last Halloween or whatever. Didn't they hit like some dude with their car or something?
And he was fine. And then they
So I went with Scary Movie. I'm not a huge fan of horror movies in general. I should have started out by this entire. I know that our friend Bone is a huge Jason fan or Michael Myers fan. Halloween movies and stuff. But I've just never. It's not that I don't. Most horror movies are so poorly done and they don't scare you. Like it's just like I'm more into like the creepy like thriller type movies like
same here.
Like the Get Outs and stuff like that, where it's just like you have an eerie feeling. And not like, oh my God, some guy's chasing me with a chainsaw type of thing. Right. So that's why I like Scary Movie so much, because it makes fun of it so, like, it fits my feelings towards those types of movies so perfectly. And I think that's why I've always liked them.
And
plus, Shaq was in one of them.
The Wayans brothers writing it, I mean, they wrote that movie perfectly. Yeah. Like,
I'm going to shit on these walls, Ray.
I'm going to fart in your mouth.
Yeah, I fucking loved
it. Take it, Brandon.
I fucking love Scary Movie. That's a great pick.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right. So with the next pick, I'm going to go ahead and go Scary Movie 2. So, no, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Oh, man.
This one is a classic, basically. I think anytime you look up, top Halloween movies, this one's got to be probably right there at number one or number two usually. In most lists I've seen. I'm pretty sure it's got like a mid to high 90s score on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm not sure. I have to go back and check it, but Ernest Scared Stupid.
You motherfucker.
Yeah.
I put that at number three on mine because I didn't think any would take it.
Yeah. So
God damn it.
I mean, it's a classic. You got
it. It is.
Take that one with your first pick.
Damn it.
You know, any movie with Ernest is just, that's high quality cinema, but. You know, to mix in the Halloween theme too, you can't go wrong.
Rim shot.
Yeah, Ernest Scared Stupid. That's my first pick.
All right.
For those of you watching the simulcast right now, I'm visibly upset.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go I'm going to go for Team T-Bone. And my first pick's going to be the original Halloween movie. It's just keep it simple. Great theme song.
Not one of the like the
great movie.
Three dozen remakes they've made of it.
Don't worry, there's a new one coming out.
The new one looks like
weeks.
It's going to be good.
It's a reboot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or as the Big Time Movie Boys would say, which I don't even know what it means half the time, it's not canon.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah, the new one looks like it's going to be pretty good, but the original was the best.
Yeah. I like the original.
Yeah. It's one of those that, like, I think I probably saw it when I was under 10 and it scared the shit out of me. And then I made my wife watch it for the first time last year. She had never seen it. And it doesn't really hold up now. But I mean, it's still creepy, and it's definitely a Halloween classic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My first one that was on my list, Hefe. The first one that I'm gonna go with is not like a traditional scary movie. It's kind of more of a kids movie, but I still like watching it. And that's Hocus Pocus. It's a fucking fantastic movie. I mean, mm-hmm. I think it's probably more of a chick movie.
Yeah. But
because it's about witches and there's a happy ending and everything, but I still enjoy watching Hocus Pocus.
You gotta pay extra for that.
Yeah,
it's on so much this time of year too. Literally seen it on 15, 16 times.
Oh my god, a Halloween movie's playing in October, guys!
I just mean it's on so much.
Can you believe they have the audacity to play Christmas movies in December now? Christ! Sorry, FA.
I just love you so much. My next pick is cheating a little bit, and you guys can you can make your judgment on it, but I'm picking it anyways. And that's pretty much all of the Simpsons Treehouse of Horror movies. Episodes.
That's fair cheating.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Because that's one of the things that I like to do is go through and watch all of those episodes in October with my wife. She's really into Halloween, and then she will be into Christmas, but coming up soon, but. She wasn't a huge Simpsons fan growing up, and I feel like I've kind of introduced her to that and gotten her used to it. And she likes the Treehouse of Horror shows.
Venus.
With my second pick, I am going to go with the original Saw, because I feel like they get worse and worse as I go on. But that original one, when it gets to that like plot twist, that's like the best. Like. The original Saw was awesome.
Yeah. Definitely didn't see that coming.
No, not at all. I liked probably the first two or three Saw movies. And then I stopped. I didn't even really watch the last half of them. I don't know how many they've made, but yeah.
They're up there, yeah.
And it was one of those things where I'm like, I want to go back and watch that whole series just because I'd like to see where they went with it, even though I know that they progressively got worse and worse. But
yeah,
I'm not going to do that. I don't have any.
I feel like the game over thing was forced with all the other ones, but on the first one, like, it's so good.
Yeah.
Like, because you just weren't expecting it.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
That, like, the music they had once they revealed it or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that pick. So, my next pick, this is one of those rare situations where a sequel is actually better than the original. And the original was pretty good. I really liked it, but
you're gonna do the Toy Story special?
I thought about that. But no, but I think this sequel. I mean, I don't like to throw around the word perfect movie too often, but this is basically a perfect movie. Boo to a Madea Halloween, and everyone knows that I'm a really big Tyler Perry fan. So it's probably no surprise that I picked this movie. But yeah, I mean, it's just got everything you want. It's got Tyler Perry. It's got Madea. It's got Halloween. So yeah, I really loved every minute of that movie.
I heard a nasty rumor that Madea and Tyler Perry are the same person.
No, that's false. That's
it's false.
That's like the whole Paul from Wonder Years being Marilyn Manson. That's not true.
Yeah.
Thank God.
The rib thing is true.
Ruin,
for Paul, not Marilyn. Yeah. All time mix up. That Creep Paul is the one that did the surgery, not Marilyn Manson. Alrighty. My last two. I thought when we threw Fall out there that there would be more like this taken. This is one I was kind of worried about getting stolen too, not fucking Ernest Scared Stupid. Varsity Blues.
I thought about that.
Yeah.
I felt like that would have been cheating because I could have just picked all football moves, but I didn't want to get too.
That's why I only went with one here. Yeah. But I mean, Allie Larder had my favorite Halloween costume ever in that movie. So
I like the one
when she was whipped cream.
Yeah, just the whipped cream.
I wore that one year for Mac, the whipped cream bikini.
I like how you put the chocolate whipped cream in the ass crack, though.
Yeah. I will say, though.
I stick with my themes, man.
I will say, though, that hair and whipped cream just doesn't mix.
No, not at all.
Isn't there, in Scary Movie, isn't there a whipped cream scene?
No, it's not another
team movie.
It's
not another team movie. Okay. Yeah, it's a banana. Yeah.
Chris Evans.
No, it's Banana Split, and he's got a banana in his ass.
Yeah,
Captain America himself.
Chris Evans.
Okay, and then this other one, I thought this was something Witty would do because he's always, you know, has a play on words in his picks. But I was going to go with the 1964 classic, The Fall of the Roman Empire.
Just wait. I was saving those for my honorable mentions.
I know. Oh, yeah. Well, no, same here. I was thinking about, I don't know. I thought about going with and get the bleep button ready. I'm going to say.
God.
Jesus.
Wow.
Too soon?
Sorry.
Nah.
All right. So.
All right. I like that.
Good picks, everybody. Anybody got any? Good honorable mentions.
I mean, we can do our last picks,
too.
Did you guys not?
Son of a bitch. Yeah, the first pick.
That's right. My bad. I was backwards here. I'm sorry.
It's amateur night here, I guess.
It is.
So my last pick, this is a little bit more of a... this is a serious one. I really do like this one. And it is one where there's a lot of debate on whether, you know, it's a truly a Halloween movie or not, but I'm throwing it into that category, and it's A Nightmare Before Christmas. I've always been a big fan of that movie. And to be honest with you, there's not a lot of, like, Halloween fall movies that I really do like. Like, I was having a hard time finding ones, but this is one that was a kind of a no-brainer for me. I think the story is good, the music's good, it's just a creative concept, and, I like it, so I'm going Nightmare Before Christmas.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
And it's going to be my favorite Christmas movie, too.
Some would say your first real pick.
Yeah, well.
No, Ernest Scared Stupid.
A lot of value there.
That's a I'm not even joking. We watch that every year. We got, like, all the Ernest movies.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ernest Goes to Camp.
Is that what the one with, like, the turd monster?
It's a troll.
It's a troll.
Okay. Well, I think the last time I saw it, I was a kid, and I thought it was a turd monster, so. T-word monster, excuse me.
Yeah, we don't want to offend anyone here.
I am going to go with my last pick, and I like it because South Park kind of did a mashup of it, The Shining. South Park's mashup of it is Randy buys an old Blockbuster and goes stir crazy because nobody comes into it, and it's haunted by like all the old inhabitants of the Blockbuster. But Shining's one of the creepiest movies, even when you see it now. It's not as creepy, and you don't take it as serious being older, but it's just a really weird movie.
Yeah.
And that's one of those movies that I've seen, like, the first hour of and just never finished it.
It's such a long movie, yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'll wrap it up. Mine's pretty easy. It's from our childhood, Ghostbusters. It's a classic. Mm-hmm. I enjoy watching it every single year.
You mean the new one?
Honorable
right?
mentions. What's up?
The new one.
Okay. The hot take alert.
Let's hear it.
Everybody hated that movie. I didn't think it was that bad. I mean, it's okay.
Just
I like
okay. Huh?
Chris.
So
Hemsworth
women can't be
it.
Ghostbusters.
No, they can.
Sounds like a Space Jam fan to me when it's remade.
Well, I can't wait for Space Jam 2, Hefe. All right, let's do some honorable mentions. For me, actual scary movies, probably scary movies are so bad typically. Like, I think, you know, Matt kind of commented on that earlier. They're just not done well. But The Conjuring a few years ago when that was made, that was a legitimately scary movie. I liked it a lot.
I didn't see it.
I also enjoyed the original Paranormal Activity.
Yeah,
that was one of those where they showed you, like, instead of showing you what the movie was going to be, they kind of showed you the audience's reaction to it, like in the promos for it, and that kind of got everybody hyped up for it. But those are my two honorable mentions.
Yeah, I had a handful of, I mean, there are a handful of, like, actually scary movies that I like, and And like Max said, I'm more of like a fan of like the suspenseful thriller type movies than actual true horror, just because it to me those seem more realistic. It's like something that could actually happen. So that's what makes it, I think, a little bit more creepy in my mind. But a lot of the ones that I like, I don't consider to be true like Halloween movies. So I didn't pick those. I did have a handful of fall movies that I was going to pick, like Max's suggestion. I had Falling Down, which is a great movie.
I had Falling Down on my list.
Jurassic Park, Fallen Kingdom, and then Mission Impossible, Fallout. So those are my fall theme movies.
Nice.
But yeah, I didn't have any legit ones. Well, E.T. E.T.'s one that kind of...
Yeah.
And Beetlejuice.
Got to throw in Cliffhanger. Nice.
Beetlejuice is a good one.
Yeah.
I had a couple.
Michael Keaton's the goat.
I had a couple honorable mentions. I had It. I had It, the original. I saw the remake and it was okay.
I didn't see
the original. The original with Tim Curry's the best.
I'll never see the remake.
Messed me up when I was a kid.
I only saw the remake. I don't know what the original was.
Yeah, I saw was the terrified original
maybe
too.
When I was a kid.
Yep.
I had The Mighty Ducks because it was released in October.
Nice.
In 1992. I didn't pick the other one because it's the greatest movie of all time. Taxi was released October 6, 2004.
When did the movie take place, though? Was it in the fall?
It was not in the fall.
They were falling in love.
Yeah, and it was a buddy comedy, and they were falling in love. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Did they fall in love? I've never seen it.
No, they were just friends.
So you have seen it?
I have seen it numerous times. I had Falling Down on there. And then, like you guys said earlier, any football maybe, Friday Night Lights, etc. All great.
I've never seen that. Is that the sequel?
Friday Night Lights, etc.
Yeah. So, hey, I already said my honorable mention, but nobody at home heard it, so probably for the better. That's a pretty good all-around list.
No, they all heard
us. Well. Oh, hey.
Nobody said Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, that's trash.
That's Freddy a Christmas Krueger's movie.
Shit.
Oh, I thought you said Miracle on 34th Street.
Same thing.
Ooh, they could do a mashup. That would be wild.
So, but yeah, good list, gentlemen. Might have to throw a couple of those on there. I'm definitely going to watch Ernest Scared Stupid at some point this while.
Yeah.
This fall, leading up to Halloween. I don't know. I'll go through the scary movies, like the franchise of scary movies, not the scary movies, because like we said, we're not huge horror movie fans.
The first two are written by the Wayans brothers. The rest of them are
All get kind of crappy after a while when they started doing a lot of stupid cameos from big celebrities like Dr. Phil
and Shaq.
Shaq was in one of them. All right. So we always like to give people something to look forward to on the weekends, because I know a lot of people are out there, they're lost without our guidance. So, gentlemen, is there anything exciting you're looking forward to this weekend?
Wearing a hoodie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Again.
We're finally out of the 80-degree weather, and it's projected to be in the 50s and 60s for the next couple of weeks.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Did you see some of the lows?
Yeah, like it's going to be like in the upper 30s 30? At like 8 o'clock this morning.
Ugh,
digging that.
So yeah, I am also going to be enjoying the cold weather. I think my cousin's having a bonfire grill out type thing for, actual fall arriving. So that's what I got going on Saturday. Probably watch some football, maybe do a little bit of cornhole, at his house. So should be a pretty nice little Saturday.
I am going to probably do the same. I'll have a fire one way or the other, whether it's in our fireplace while we're watching stuff Saturday night or
at Hefe's house
or
like downtown if the Bengals lose,
or do like a little fire, use our fire pit out back. But at some point I'll have a fire going, because I have a lot of firewood to move if we ever move to a different house ever. And my goal is to burn it all before we have to move. So, cause I'm not going to give somebody all that firewood. We spent like 3 days splitting all that. So that's mine. It's either getting burnt or, because I'm not taking it with me. So, But yeah, I'm excited to just partake in some fall activities. Maybe I'll go get some apple cider or something to warm up and make me feel like I'm all outdoorsy and stuff.
Have you already started doing Sunday chili?
Oh yeah, we've been doing that. And
I didn't know if it was you know chili enough. It's been,
it hasn't felt right doing it when you're sitting there when you're sweating bringing the groceries in. It doesn't feel like you should be making chili, but
yeah,
we still have been doing it. And yeah, to be fair, I would sweat in 20-degree weather carrying groceries. So
we went to that fall festival last week, and it was like 85 at like 10 o'clock. It was awful.
Yeah,
terrible. So
I'm excited for the Bengal game. I'm gonna be at it. I'm gonna be sitting right in the middle of the end zone. So
I don't know if you're allowed to do that.
I might get hurt.
Ma'am, you can't park your van in the end zone.
It's not a van, it's just a fat kid. It's just a big fat kid.
So you wearing your Heath Miller jersey? Or?
No, I think I'm going to go. This is the decision.
Terry Bradshaw?
So the last time I wore the Munoz jersey, they lost the Panthers. Last time I wore the Icky Woods jersey, they won. So I don't know if I'm going to go Icky Woods or
Shane Graham.
I think you just made your decision.
Munoz.
I have news for you. This might come as a shock, but what you wear has absolutely no impact on the game. You being in the middle of the end zone might impact the game.
Also, me picking the Steelers during our football picks has nothing to do with them winning or losing.
I don't blame that.
Either way.
Yeah, you're going to be wrong either way, so pick the Steelers.
Wait. Too late.
But no, I am excited for fall weather and I'm going to the game, so I'm pretty pumped about that. But
just have a stroke.
I hope you get beat up by Steelers fans.
That'd be
probably won't happen.
God, that'd be awesome.
Probably won't happen though.
A pack of rabid Steelers fans took down a shaved silverback at Paul Brown Stadium today.
Shaved silverbacks, why it won't happen. I'm still a giant man.
He did manage to shit all over the place, though. It is uncertain if it's because he was knocked unconscious or because of his diet. Yeah,
it wasn't even anything to do with the game. He was just trying to get a gold star, Coney.
Evidence shows there were two empty nacho cheese cups near the deceased. And we all know how that goes through Hefe.
I know. It's going to be a heart attack for sure.
Fart attack.
Boom.
All right, well, thank you for checking us out. As always, we appreciate every single one of you, all 17 million followers on Twitter. I think we have we're close to 17. We'll just round up. Check us out on millironsports.com. on Twitter we're at millironsports. In that bio you can find all of our individual Twitter handles. And as always, just send us a review on iTunes, rate 5 stars. Let's get into the top 15,000. Let's make that a goal.
Love it.
Until next week, we'll see you next week when the Bengals are 5-1.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.